From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Wilderness Communion. The text is found in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. The goodness of God sees us allured by sin, and it resolves to try upon us the more powerful allurements of love. Do we not remember when the lover of our souls first cast a spell upon us and charmed us away from the fascinations of the world? He will do this again and again, whenever he sees us likely to be ensnared by evil. He promises to draw us apart, for there he can best deal with us. And this separated place is not to be a paradise, but a wilderness, since in such a place there will be nothing to take off our attention from our God. In the deserts of affliction, the presence of the Lord becomes everything to us, and we prize His company beyond any value which we set upon it when we sat under our own vine and fig tree in the society of our fellows. Solitude and affliction bring more to themselves and to their heavenly Father than any other means. When thus allured and secluded, the Lord has choice things to say to us for our comfort. He speaks to our hearts, as the original has it. Oh, that at this we may have this promise explained in our experience. Allured by love, separated by trial, and comforted by the Spirit of truth, may we know the Lord and sing for joy.
His loving kindness is mine, He is my rock.
One of the hallmarks of Protestant Christianity is its tradition of singing. Just as the worship in the Old Testament was characterized by song, so the people of God down through the ages have been a singing people. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a CD entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise that contains nearly an hour of the great hymns of the church performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. The CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the account of Christ cleansing the temple in Jerusalem, as recorded in John chapter 2. We've seen his zeal in driving out those who were corrupting the temple with their merchandising. By his actions and his commanding voice, Christ demonstrated his authority. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, it is Christ's presence that makes the difference, whether it be driving out religious charlatans or bringing revival to his people. There is a parallel between Christ's cleansing of the temple and his second coming. When he returns in glory, all of his enemies will be cast out, while all of those who trust in him for salvation will be welcomed into his heavenly kingdom. Now Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of this first of two messages on the theme, the moral and spiritual significance of Christ cleansing the temple.
Remember in John chapter 7, the Pharisees, etc., sent out people to Christ to arrest him. And then the officers that they sent came back empty-handed. They said, "Where is he?" They simply said, can you hear the awe in their voice as they said it? "Never man speak like this man." Now, these were hard-bitten men. They were there to arrest him. And it wasn't the fear of the crowd. It wasn't that they couldn't or didn't think they could overcome the logistical problems of getting him to a place where they could actually arrest him. What overcame them was simply the presence, the majesty, and the power, and the authority of Christ. Never man spake like this man. There's an even more outstanding example in John 18, in the Garden of Gethsemane, verses 4 through 6. Jesus, knowing that all things that should come upon him went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And why, that's good translation. And it's necessary that he is italicized. Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. And he stepped forth and said, I am. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now what could cause that? Just the sheer authority, the sheer majesty of the person of Christ. You know this when you walk into the presence of a great man, where you feel the moral force and superiority of his character. Some people can impose you with their dress, their uniform, their office, but those are all just trappings. The thing that really imposes itself upon you is that moral and spiritual superiority. I've often said to you that when, as young ministers, we had the opportunity to spend hours and then 2 whole weeks in prayer with the late Jordan Khan of India, it overwhelmed our hearts. And I think in many ways changed our lives. Jordan Khan had no money. When he went to a church, he never asked for money. To be quite honest, when they gave him money, he would not even say thank you. Not, I think, to be ill-mannered. But that wasn't his focus. When you went into his presence, his eyes burned like coals of fire. You were subdued. That could be felt in the presence of a mere sinner. What must it have been to stand in the presence of incarnate deity? The authority of the Lord Jesus. And if I may hearken back to the fact that the first coming points to the second, does that not help us grasp the force of what we read in Matthew 22, verse 12? When the Lord Jesus tells the parable about that marriage supper for the king's son, and the king comes in and he sees a man without a wedding garment, and he says, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I hear an awful lot of arrogant nonsense talked by sinners who will stand before God, they say. And they say, I am going to say this to the Lord. And I am going to say the other thing to the Lord. And I am going to ask him why this. And I am going to inquire the other. My friend, let me tell you, when a sinner stands before God without a wedding garment, which is the righteousness of Christ, will only take the question, you'll be speechless. And if Christ in the days of his humiliation, by the sheer force of his personal superiority, could so still men, How much more when in all His glory He stands before us and we before Him? Christ, in His zeal, showed His personal authority. That, of course, should give us some encouragement in the work of God and the witness of the gospel. For when Christ exerts that authority, men bow to His will. They bow to His will. That's why, you know, it is ultimately so foolish for churches to get sidetracked into marketing techniques. I get these things across my desk, and to be quite honest, it sickens me. You know, all the marketing people are like, we have learned how to market your church. You'll get bigger crowds. I have no doubt we could market a church to get bigger crowds. So what? So what? Marketing techniques. Psychological techniques. All the little gimmicks which takes the gospel from its high pedestal and brings it down into the gutter to make it merely a tool for making people feel better temporarily. That's not the gospel. Let me tell you this. I read in Mark chapter 2, it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And the people came and the work of God was done. Let it but be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. Let it be that when people come to this house, they meet and hear Jesus Christ. And when He exerts His authority, men will bow to His will. He can still every voice. He can silence every critic. Thank God He can satisfy every soul with the power and presence of His own personal authority. In a way, you know, that's a good definition of revival. That's what He does in every great movement of the Holy Ghost. It is that personal authority of Christ conveyed by His Spirit that overwhelms man. The words that are spoken will have an effect. I've been in meetings, and I would to God that these things were completely up to date and we could say, this is our experience every week. We need it now. My little bit of history is just that, unless it leads us to a present experience. But I remember the days in the 60s and 70s when the Free Church was under the opposition of the devil but was being greatly blessed of God. I remember holding gospel missions. Christ was there. The presence of God was there. Now, the preacher was no better then than he is today. In fact, probably was a whole lot worse. There was nothing in the mere sermon or its presentation that could account for the results. But the authority, the power of Jesus Christ, that made all the difference. When you threw up an old ex-army tent in a field miles out in the countryside, with just a few dim lights from a long lead that a neighboring farmer who knew nothing about us had been kind enough to supply from his supply, and the tufts of grass are sitting up between thick grass between the rough old forms that you put in, the canvas swallows up the preacher's voice. It's like the most dead kind of atmosphere you can have. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the circumstances. There's nothing in a man-made atmosphere that's conducive to great results. But when you see sinners, drunkards, religious sinners, whatever, kneeling in the grass, crying to God to have mercy on their souls. And you see those lives transformed by the mighty grace and power of God. I want to tell you, my friend, there's only one explanation. That's the authority, the power of Christ exerted in His temple. He silenced the accuser's roar. He silenced Satan's opposition. And He brought His power to bear in blessing. He does that in every movement of His Spirit. And as I leave you today with the thought that Christ's zeal for the house of God is as great as ever it was. It is not just a zeal that shows itself in a powerful anger against the corruptors and the apostates. It is a zeal that shows itself in His personal authority that will bring men to obey His will and fall at His feet. May we see that. May we experience that. May we long for that. May God drive us to our knees until we are sure we have an answer to our prayer. That in His personal, glorious authority and power, the Christ of God has come among us to bend man to His sovereign will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Christ. Oh, what a mighty revelation Thou hast given us in Thy word of the blessed Son of God. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for all that He is. We thank Thee for His gentleness. We thank Thee for His kindness. But Lord, we thank Thee also for His zeal for the house of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for His zeal against the corruption of the temple of the living God. We thank Thee that Christ still purifies His temple. Oh Lord, we bless Thee for Him. We pray that Thou wilt put in the heart of every man, woman, and child here a desire to know Christ, to follow Christ, and fully to obey Him. We pray for our nation. Lying apostles, false prophets, false gospelers are leading people to a deeper destruction by their lying gospels. God, have mercy on this great nation. And we pray that Thou would raise up a race of Spirit-filled prophets, men who know God and who preach in the power of God. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt fill our pulpits not with time-serving lackeys, not with money-grubbing people like the very ones Christ cast out of the temple. God, fill our pulpits with men called and anointed by the Spirit of God to glorify Jesus Christ. God, grant that Thou wilt even yet have mercy to turn the hearts of the multitudes in this land to Jesus Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel. Lord, save us, save our political leaders from doing more despite to truth and to the well-being of the nation by insulting Jesus Christ. God, have mercy upon us. Uplift Thy Son. Start in this very meeting today. Subdue the proudest heart to bring the most arrogant soul to the very feet of Jesus. And then multiply that miracle of grace across the nation. Part us now with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom, be our abiding portion, both this Sabbath day and evermore. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.